Our sermon text for this Transfiguration Sunday is going to be taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. I kept going to chapter 6, but anyways, chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 28 through 36. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning at verse 28, reading through 36, reading in Jesus' name. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took him up with him, Peter, John, and James, and they went up into a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, or tabernacles, as the King James says, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And he said, he was saying these things, as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days, anything of what they had seen. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, that sigh was even a prayer. We ask, Father, by the power of your Spirit, that you would strengthen us and you would give us a peace. That, Father, that you would be with the Racine family. That you would bless Ron. That you'd be with his wife. That you would encourage them in this difficult time. And we pray, Father, that you would also just encourage all those that cared and knew Ron Sr., that you would bless them and encourage them also. But we know, Father, the great reward that he has received, and we praise and we thank you for this. We ask that you'd be with us as we speak your word. We ask that men and flesh would be silent and you would be glorified. Sanctify us in the truth. There is no truth outside of your word. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen, brother. So anyways, I love how we have these church texts that pick up here. You know, you got the calendar text, and it basically comes out and says, now about 8 days after. After what? That's what human beings do. We often will find a piece of scripture, and we'll find something that will fit our needs, and then we have a tendency to take it just in our context. We don't look at the full context of the scripture. Jesus was doing a lot of teaching. He was doing a lot of encouraging. And he really spoke before this about taking up your cross. And, you know, really that is something to understand. We don't have just a God that now when we have a need, we just go to him, and then after we're all set, we go our own way. He's basically saying in reality, you are called to this Christian walk, each and every one of us. That wherever we go, this is what we represent. It's not that we, you know, need to hold up banners or signs or do different things like that. It is the testimony of our life to walk in faith and be able to go through the seasons of our life in that faith. It's very important. You know, when I watched my brother walk through those doors today, who's going through a very difficult time, it is a testimony of faith that this is where one needs to be when we go through difficulty. You know, and that really is ultimately it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever never felt like going to church? You know, in other words, in your life, have you gotten up and said, "I don't want to go today"? So I don't need you to answer. I'll just answer as your pastor. There's many days that I would get up and say, "Oh, I don't want to go today. I don't know what I'm going to say." You know, I could go the old joke, right? "Those people don't even like me. Do I really have to go, Judy?" And she says, "Yes, you're the pastor." Oh. But that's not it. It's more, sometimes we're overwhelmed by things. But then how many times do we walk through those doors being burdened down with all the struggles of life or our struggles in depression, whatever it may be, and we realize, this is exactly where I needed to be. This is exactly what I needed to hear. You know? And that's really what he's saying here is we are called Christians and we walk in the Lord and we carry this cross. In other words, we will go through difficulty. We will go through struggles, but we will endure because we don't go through it alone. He says, if anyone, in the verse 23 of this chapter, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. One way we could do that is, Lord, help me. Get up in the morning, and I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just saying, this is Jesse sometimes. I just don't feel like it. But Lord, help me show your love. Help me show your encouragement. Help me show your truth. You know, and that really, I think, is what it's about. It's not that it's such a burden, you know, to have this big cross on your shoulders and you're like, I'm just a miserable Christian, barely making it. It's not that. It's, Lord, you have given us an opportunity. And we lean on you for all strength, all wisdom, all insight. You know, to be able to get up in the morning and actually do this, that we would, you know, and it's not always easy. My wife used to make a statement, and it used to irritate the daylights out of me. She would say, choose joy. And I'm like, no. But I was good at choosing being bitter, choosing at being miserable. I was. I'm not picking on anybody else. Jesse can be negative at times. But I remember going through a very difficult time. And I lost someone extremely important to me. And I had to choose joy that day. I had to. And God gave me the revelation of everything that my loved one received, I would never want them to come back to this. It's that joy. That, Lord, even as King David said, you know, I know this about his son with Bathsheba. I know this, that my son will never come to me, but I will go to him. There is a joy there, and it will be perfect. You won't have Jesse's attitude. It won't have any of that stuff. But anyways, he says, you know, follow me. He says, in reality, if you're trying to preserve your earthly life, you're going to end up in the end with nothing. But if you surrender and let go, not in religion, but in faith in Christ, you will receive everything. And so he brings that out very strongly. So then he comes to where we got to get to our message, because then Cheryl will say it won't fit on the radio messages anymore, so I got to get going. But verse 27, he says, I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. This is a big theological debate with a lot of people. And I think, why? Because sometimes I think we think we're God. We can tell them how this is going to work. We aren't God. And Jesus spoke these words, not Jesse, not Chuck Smith, not Alex Trebek. It in reality is Jesus speaking these words. And he says, I'm telling you, there's some that are standing here today with him that will see the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what Jesus did with that resurrection. He established the kingdom of God on earth. That's what the whole book of the Acts is. The Acts of the Apostle is the power of the kingdom of God entering into this world as a light in darkness. Now, yes, we wait for the second coming of Jesus. There's no doubt about it. But we're not waiting for the power of the kingdom of God to come. It has come. And it has come through the power of his Holy Spirit that we have the ability to live as more than conquerors on this earth. That we are living in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That we can enter into a world that is dark and dismal and you can see joy. I don't want to go into it because I keep saying I'm not going to, but on this trip, that's one of the things that I could not imagine. And I'll show you next week of all the pictures of evangelizing or sharing, if I could say. It was more sharing because I don't know the language. I'm going to. Hold me to it. Next year, I will know a lot more Spanish. So, but the point is to go into some of those places. And I would be depressed. I would look around and say, why am I here if I lived there? And I'm not picking on them. But they come to you with joy. They come to you with beautiful smiles. They come to you with excitement. That's really how we can be as Christians, going through cancer, going through death, going through heart diseases and different struggles. You know, that was one thing about the one I talked about that died that was very close to me. The one thing he kept saying is, I have life today, and I'm going to live it. The individual could barely eat food. He could barely get out of the house. He was crawling to his truck so I could take him for a ride somewhere. But he'd say, but I have life today, and I'm going to live it. And he says, and when I get to heaven, I am going to know true life, true life. And I asked him his vision of heaven, and he said, it's a big open field. Gary, you'll like this. And he's on a John Deere tractor making hay. That was his vision of heaven. But he comes to this point saying that some of you won't taste death. This is saying the power of the kingdom of God is given to us now, in and through Christ Jesus, by the ability of his word and the power of his spirit. We have this ability to bring life. And so anyways, 8 days later, because this is what it says, then eight days later, he's up on a mountaintop. He brings his disciples with him, a few of them. He brings Peter and John and James, and I always want to say James and John for some reason, but anyways, they went to a mountaintop to pray. They were going to have this experience. What a powerful experience it would be. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And it says, and behold, two men were talking with him, the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah. They're there speaking with him. They're there to encourage him. You know, that God allowed even us servants of earth to bring encouragement. But anyways, and so they're sitting there, and they're talking with him, who appeared in glory and spoke of what? His departure, of what he's going to go through, what he's going to take place. But I can even imagine, this is my human side of me, so forgive me, but the excitement even. You are going to redeem the race. You are going to pay the sin debt of the world. To understand what they're talking about there. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That we would have hope, that we would have eternity. I mean, this is a big deal. And so you could just imagine the conversation, the encouragement that's going on here. And so basically it's kind of interesting. He's going to accomplish all of this. Typical disciples, though. They're sleeping. Don't we see it in the Garden of Gethsemane? They're sleeping. Jesse sleeps all the time. Even when I'm awake, I'm sleeping. I'm not paying attention. You know, we turn around and we look at everything like this, and you see the bulletin boards. I've even hung pictures on the bulletin boards, you know, to try to encourage the Mexico mission. Or I hang them in the back room in here, and I didn't know what was going on there. I didn't have a clue. I took it for granted. Russ and Duffy will go do it. Often we sleep. And I'm not saying we all have to run off to Mexico, but I am inviting any adult that wants to come next year, I want to go. We're going to go. You know, but you got to have a heart for it, and you got to be willing to go. I didn't want to go, but someone encouraged me to. Best salesman in the world over there in the middle pews. But the point is, it was important to him, and now it's important to me. But the reality is the point, now I lost my track because I started doing a sales thing for my brother, and he would be mad at me for that. But really, so they're sitting there and they're encouraging them, and we're sleeping. There's a lot going on around us that we don't recognize, and I understand we can't be involved in everything. But I guess Jesse had a little sermon this week and nobody said it to him. Be involved in something. Encourage people somehow. And this congregation, do you know, I'm going to that. I want to go to that till next week. But do you know how many houses I looked at that this congregation built? Quite a few. Interesting. But he says very plainly that they were there and they were sleeping. But when the revelation of what was going on, when the glory of Jesus shines, nobody can sleep. That's what I think I come from this. That nobody can sleep. They wake up, they see this. You know, and when this happens, all of a sudden you see Moses and Elijah disappear. And I think this is for great reason. It is not about Moses and Elijah. All the Old Testament stands and it points to Christ. So they were there to encourage, but it's not about them. It is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and nothing else. This is what this speaks so boldly. And I love how this goes because all of a sudden they wake up and they realize, oh, we're sleeping on the job. And Peter, he's always that one, when he doesn't know what to say, he just says anything. I can relate to that. A lot of you that have conversations with me know that, right? But it's very interesting. Because also, being caught in that situation, I kind of think, oh boy, we're sloughing off. It's like when Pastor Jay would be teaching in seminary and, you know, you're listening to him go on and on and on for 2 hours about a subject, and you're like listening halfway, and you're doodling on your thing, or you're looking at your phone, or whatever else, and all of a sudden he asks you a question, and, oh, I gotta be religious and give him an answer. And he's like asking a question, and I'm like, yellow? What's that got to do with anything? I don't even know what you're talking about. I just made up a word, you know? That's kind of what happens here. Peter wakes up and realizes something big happened, and I better say something religious. Oh, it's good that we're here. Let's turn this into a moment. Let's turn this into a shrine where we come back and we can remember this moment. You know, we should build some, it says tents here, but it really is saying tabernacles, little places of worship that we could come and we can remember this great moment. Well, it's not about that. It's about the revealing of Jesus Christ as King, as Lord. And so he wants to take this into a moment of great religious significance, and God wants it to be about his Son and his purpose. See, and that's what all of this, even mission and everything, is about, I believe, is literally, yeah, there's a lot of things you hand out. I handed out Jolly Ranchers because those kids are so darn cute. But it's about praying with the mamas. It's about encouraging them. And that's why I feel like now I'm putting myself on record that I got to learn language so that we can share the most important treat with them, the gospel. So he says very plainly here that he didn't know what to do, so he didn't know what to say. And when he starts rambling off something religious that we would all expect, God shows up. Playtime's over. Christianity is not a joke. Going to church is not just a tradition. Playtime is over. It's about picking up your cross and walking with Him, exemplifying the love of God wherever we may go, exemplifying His truth in a world that doesn't want to hear it. It's not about popularity. It's about salvation. And so when he's saying all these things, this cloud comes over, because as we saw with Moses, you can't turn around and look at God and not have some ramifications, because he's so pure and we in the flesh are not. It's kind of like a refiner's furnace, right? You sit there and it says that gold is not worth anything till it's tried in the fire. But you use a refiner's furnace, and you literally got to stand back, and you're trying to do it. It's like Jesse making his cream of wheat on his wife's big stove, where that thing is just so hot, I can't even use the whisk, you know? But it's really, truly about exemplifying God's love. Religion's a game. Christianity is real. and you are Christians. And I could see the love that is in your heart to share with this world. And so he says very plainly, you know, God shows up, overshadows them with a cloud, protecting them. And that's what the cloud's for. God desires for your protection. We aren't able yet to fully take him in. And he makes one message. He says one statement. You know, we should really do something cool here because Moses and Elijah showed up. We should do something religious. And God turns around and said, this is my son. This is my son. He says, my chosen one. This means the anointed one. Listen to him. Listen to him. This is what we receive in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God so loves you. Jesus says, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. This is what he's calling us to. He had a whole different resemblance, and you've heard me say it, metamorphosis, right? That's exactly what the word is here, is metamorphosis that's used. Total change. It doesn't mean altered. He totally changed in front of them. And the powerful thing is, after his resurrection, yes, he bears the wounds for you and I. He does. But he was changed also. Because it says, when Mary saw him in the garden, she didn't know him. It says when they were walking on the road to Emmaus, the guys that were with him walked for quite a ways. He explained the whole Old Testament to them, but they didn't know him until he was revealed through his word. And actually, with the road to Emmaus, he was revealed in the breaking of bread, partaking of himself. It's very powerful. And so, this is what we all receive in Christ Jesus, not in the religion of the world, but in the true faith of the giving of Christ. He says, this is my son. Listen to him. Listen to him. And I know we repeat that all the time, right? John 3:16 and 17. But that is one of the messages we need to listen to. For God so loved the world. God loves Russia. God loves Ukraine. God loves Israel. And he loves, if I could say, the messed up people of Hamas. But he desires for repentance. God loves me and has called me to repentance. And God loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believeth, repent, turn, trust, live in him, that he would give eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. We're good at that as human beings. We can take care of that alone. But he sent his son into the world that the world would be saved through him, that the world could be saved through him. How? There is that clincher in there that the world could be saved. How? By grace through faith. How does that come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's our message. That God loves you. God desires restoration. He seeks for peace in a fallen world. Listen to him. Listen to Christ. We live in a world that oftentimes devalues life, from abortion to suicide, from hatred to excommunicating. But the scripture says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is our God. How can you go in the middle of a place where literally people are living in forts that, like, I built as a child, and I am not, can't say the word buska in the pulpit, but I'm not kidding you. I heard the Finnish preacher say it once in the pulpit in Tapiola, so I think it's legal. But literally, it's not fake. God loves you. God wants restoration
And he has called you to share that with people around you. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, words cannot describe your love. If all the skies of parchment were made, if all the oceans filled, every quill on earth was a pen, it would not ever be able to hold all that you've done for us. So we thank you. We ask, Father, that in this difficult time, as we've prayed for those that are hurting, those that are struggling, as our brother waits for the hand of Christ, we pray that you would just give comfort, that you would give peace, and allow us to see the love you have for us, and that we could share it with another. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In Jesus' name, amen.